Title is tonight, it's a call to worship. We'll be in Psalm 81. And you know, recently the last few weeks, we've had a call to discipleship, to be a disciple and to make disciples. And we've had a call to prayer. We've been going through prayer and talking about prayer on Wednesday nights. And then we had a call of fasting and prayer. And God's beginning to do a work in the hearts of the people. And he put on my heart to preach out of Psalm 81 about a call to worship. You know, worship begins when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And it doesn't end. Well, I guess it won't ever end, amen? It'll be different. We'll have it. We can do what we can do in this earthly body, but there's coming a day where it's going to be even purer. And I look forward to that day. But in the meantime, we can worship our Lord in spirit and truth. Amen. So we'll be in Psalm 81. Let us pray one more time and we'll look into the Word. Father, we are grateful tonight to gather together. Father, to sing your praises, to look into your Word. Father, to worship together. And Lord, we know it's not confined to the four walls of this building, that each and every day, every moment of our life, we can worship you. Help us that we would do that, Lord, that we would give you all our hearts, all our soul, all our mind. And Father, that you might receive the worship that you're worthy of. And Lord, we're grateful for your love. And we're grateful that you sought us when we were unworthy. And God, we give you all the praise for that. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you, it's a little bit hard to get started after such solemn singing and playing. And I mean, that was beautiful. And I appreciate your hearts to sing and lift up praises to God. Psalm 81 was written in a response to Psalm 80. If you look back at Psalm 80, we're not going to go through it, but Psalm 80 is a cry for deliverance from the people of Israel, crying out to God, God, why don't you hear the prayers of your people? Hear us, Lord, and deliver us. We're in need of your help. And so God gives back a wonderful answer afterwards. And you know, sometimes in our life we may get to the point where we say, God, I've been praying, have you heard me? And sometimes he hears and he's just waiting, and sometimes he's not hearing because we haven't been living and worshiping the way we should. Now, who's to say what the reason is? It's between you and God. You know, and me and God, and I know. But it happens. In this case, Israel needed to get some things in order. And so God responds back. But I want you to know, in Psalm 81, it begins with, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm. Bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. And notice there's musical instruments. He's telling to sing aloud or to shout aloud. And we're to incorporate that singing as part of our worship as he calls his people to praise him. And remember, many times in Israel's history, when they were running into trouble, it's because they had forgotten the Lord their God. And so he's telling them to sing aloud unto the God of your strength, and to God our strength, and make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Go ahead and break out the instruments and play. Let it be wonderful. Blow up the trumpet and the new moon and the time appointed on our solemn feast. And that kind of represented back in Numbers 10:10, where the Bible says, also on the day of your gladness, in your solemn days, the beginning of your months, ye shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifice of your peace offerings, that they may be for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. What's interesting, he says, blow that trumpets. That's the shofar that was sounded before the feast would take place or any other great event. They were to blow that trumpet. And he says that there may be a memorial before your God. You know, I think about that as we come together, and though we don't sound a trumpet, we come together and sing and praise. We need to remember that we're doing that as a memorial. Not only as praise of what God has done, but in remembrance in what he did do. We sang, I don't know if it was this morning or last Sunday or when we sang, it was Victory in Jesus. Or maybe that wasn't, maybe I was singing it somewhere. It seemed like we, didn't we sing Victory in Jesus? That was this morning. Thank you. I tell you, everything runs together. And when Victory in Jesus was sang, I mean, that's like the Baptist anthem, right? Man, that is wonderful. But that's where our victory comes from and what Jesus did for us, right? We heard that story. Somebody told us we heard that story and we believed it, and we believed that Jesus did, and we put our faith and trust in Jesus, repenting of our sins and asking Him to save us. Oh, victory in Jesus. And how wonderful that is. And we ought to shout it out in a memorial. And you know, sometimes songs get sung so often we kind of forget and the meaning behind it, or we grow cold to what's being sung. Sometimes the radio will do that to us. They'll play a song over and over, and it started out as a wonderful song, and you get into it, and you really begin to worship. And I'm using the word worship because that's just part of it. Singing's part of it. Music's part of it. It's a whole lot more than that, but it is part of it, and you begin to worship. And then you hear it over and over and over, and after a while, those words don't mean anything anymore. It's not because they're not powerful. Just for some reason, it grows old in our hearing. And maybe that's just our old sinful nature. At any rate, he's saying, blow up the trumpet. When we come together, folks, we need to blow up the trumpet loud. And that trumpet needs to be our voice in this case. We're not bound by the Old Testament law, by the Old Testament festivals. When we come together, we ought to be shouting it out. We ought to be rejoicing. It ought not just be when we come together in the church, but when we go out and about, it's okay to shout praise the Lord if something good happens. Well, before coming here, I had a pastor that he shouted praise the Lord everywhere. It didn't matter what happened. If it was something good, he's praise the Lord or bless the Lord or praise God. And if you knew him, you know, you think he'd wear out that phrase, but he didn't. And it was genuine praise that come from his heart. And he wasn't afraid to show it. And yet sometimes we want to be quiet about the things of the Lord. And yet we're to shout it out. We're to let it sound forth as if the trumpet's being blown. We should lift up our praise in remembrance of what He has done, what He is doing, and what He will do. Amen. Amen. In verse 4, he tells us, for this was a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. And I understand a lot of this was written for Israel, but we can get application for us today as children of God. And that was a statute for Israel to have those ceremonies. He said, 5, this he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt. You know, we may not have those feasts and all those other things going on, but there's things in our life that should be shouted out for a testimony. We ought not be afraid to let our testimony be known. We ought to let our lives testify. We ought to let what God's done testify what He's done. And that's why those feasts and those solemn days were ordained as a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt. So God said, where I heard a language that I understood not. You know, God heard his people cry out of Egypt amongst the people of a language that he understood not. It's not that God didn't understand. It's that it was a stranger's voice. It was a people that didn't worship God. It was a people that worship idols and pagans and false gods. And so it's not that God didn't understand. It's that God's ear was deaf to him. He said, I heard a language that I understood not. We too were once strangers to God. You think about that. There was a time when we were strangers to God. You know, Jesus Christ is your Savior today. You're no longer a stranger, but before you knew Christ, you were a stranger. Yeah. And it was a voice he didn't understand. Thank God he was able to understand when you said, forgive me. And he was waiting for it, but it was the bondage of our sin that kept us from being understood. We were strangers to God. Just as Israel was bondage of sin, just as Israel's was bondage as slaves, we ourselves were bondage of sin. He continues on, I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. And this is the deliverance. And likened unto us is when we come to know Christ as our Savior. He removed the burden from us. Amen. He delivered the wickedness from our hands. He said, thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. These are things God's reminding me. Hey, you're calling out and asking me to deliver from your trouble. Why aren't I hearing you? Let me remind you what I've done for you. Israel was delivered from slavery in Egypt. They cried out, and God heard. God sent a deliverer in Moses. Yet over and over and over and over and over, the Israelites murmured. And they whined and they complained against Moses, questioning the Lord God. Why do we find ourselves doing so that sometimes in our life? We ever whine and complain and murmur, I don't know why this is going on. Why is this happening? Oh, God, did you save me just to leave me in this whatever? And we get wrapped up in a pity party of ourselves. God said, thou caused me in trouble, but I delivered thee. Why are you telling me that I don't deliver you? He said, you called, and I did deliver. In the secret place of thunder, I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. You remember at Meribah, they came to a place where it was dry. There wasn't any water. And the Israelites began to complain, Moses, he brought us out here to die. There's no water for us to drink. And Moses prayed, and God said, go strike that rock, and water's going to come forth. And God and Moses went and struck that rock with the rod, and water came forth, and that thirsty people were able to drink up. The Israelites' faith was tried, and yet they failed. And yet God was faithful to answer Moses. And Moses was commanded to strike a rock, and water sprang forth. We too, when we were in bondage and sin, we had to cry out. Cry out for the one who was struck, or cry out to the one who was struck for our sins. You know, that rock was looking forward to what was to happen to the rock. Jesus was going to have to be struck. And not water was going to come forth, but blood was going to come forth, that it might be shed for our sins, that it would deliver us from our bondage, that we might go free, that it might satisfy the thirst of our need. Remember, Jesus said, if you knew who would offer you to drink, I'd give you living water and you'd never thirst again. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus and we took part in that blood that he shed, he gave us water that we'd never thirst again. That rock was struck and blood came forth that we might go free. His blood poured out that we might have forgiveness. And upon receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior, we too were delivered from bondage and penalty of sin. You know, it's interesting that Israel would cry out, the psalmist would cry out in 80 and say, oh God, hear us. Why aren't you hearing us? And 81 says, here, remember what I did for you. Cry out in remembrance. Remember what I've done, how I've delivered you, what I can do. And then he's going to get into the problem. Verse 80 says, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou will hearken unto me. Well, here goes part of the issues, or probably the major part of the issue that was going on. This is why they felt like God wasn't hearing, because the people were not listening to God. God said, if you would hearken unto me. And today, Christian, child of God, if we'd open up our ears and hear the Holy Spirit is saying, God is going to lead us and guide us and correct us and testify in our life. Ever wonder why you don't hear God? Maybe you're not listening. Maybe that's part of the issue. That was part of Israel's issue. He said, not only you're not listening, this is how you're not listening. He said, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange God. Now understand, when Israel was delivered from Egypt, that they carried some of that wickedness with them. They didn't leave it all behind. They should have. They kept it and became a thorn in the flesh, so to speak. It became an issue, a problem. He said, there shall be no strange God in thee. Don't worship any strange God. Why does God say that? Because he desires our worship. And this is where he calls us to worship. Just as God expected Israel to rid themselves of all strange gods of foreign nations, he too would that his children not have any other God but him. God is calling us to the same thing today. Leave your gods behind. Leave the false gods alone. Leave the idols alone. There shall not be any other God but me. I am the Lord your God. And yet we find times in life that we allow things to rise up to take our worship. They take our thoughts. They take our duties. And they end up taking our heart. God said, hearken unto me. Don't have any strange gods. Don't worship any strange gods. Jehovah desires our worship, our whole selves. Head, heart, hands, our mind, spirit, body. That's what God desires. I said it earlier. Remember, you said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and all thy might. We'll mention that in the prayer. With our head and our mind, that's the knowledge and the knowing of God. With our heart, that's an emotional, that intimate part that drives us who we are. The heart, the spirit, the soul. And then the hands or the body is to do service for the Lord. And all these things have to work in conjunction in order to fully worship God the way he's to be worshiped. If we're missing any aspect of these things, then we're not completely worshiping the Lord. A lot of folks want to call going and listening to a wonderful concert worship. And then they go out and live like they'd never been in that concert. They had a moment where, yes, they were lifting up hands and may have been singing good words, but the rest of the time, nothing was shown. We see that on Sunday mornings, too. Folks will come in and praise the Lord in song and then go out and live contrary. Sunday night, you'll come in and hear, sing songs, and go out and live contrary. Might even show up on Wednesday nights. Maybe show up on Tuesday mornings, what was Wednesday mornings. Maybe show up on Tuesday nights. And yet that's the only time there's any sort of worship that comes out of your heart, out of your life. It's something that's got to be done each and every day, every moment. Mind, spirit, body, our head, heart, hands. Put it together. I love this next verse. In verse 10, he said, I'm the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He says, this is why you need to worship me. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I saved you. And folks, we can worship him because he saved us. He brought us out of the bondage of sin, the land of Egypt, so to speak. We've been delivered from sin and its consequences. And he says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. Picture this. The little baby bird in its nest waiting on mama bird. You see them little mouths wide open waiting for mama to bring that food in. And what a wonderful picture of what God is asking us to do. To look to him to supply and meet every need. You understand that that mama bird has made a nest. She made a home. She's providing protection. She's providing shelter, and she's providing food. She's providing comfort, and she's providing love, taking care of that little baby bird's needs. And God's telling Israel in this case, and it can be applied to us as well as Christians today, open your mouth wide like that little baby bird and just trust me to fill it with everything you need. Trust me with your protection. Trust me with your comfort. Trust me with your provisions. Trust me with your shelter. Give your all to me. You know that little baby bird has complete faith in its mama? Without his mama, he'd die. Without his mama, he'd die. And you know, sometimes a baby bird will want to go rogue and fall out of nest for whatever reason. Sometimes a mama kicks him out. But sometimes a baby bird will fall out. And you know what happens? People will come along and they'll have compassion and thinking they're going to do something good and touch that bird and put it back. And a mama no longer wants anything to do with that bird because filth has been put on that bird. That bird would have to be clean, and unfortunately, they don't do the cleaning, and that's where we can see a difference in God, is that when you've been touched by the world and you have filth on you, God will purge you and make you whole. Amen. God will clean you. But God wants to provide every need, just like that little baby bird. And so every time you see a bird, I want you to think about that baby bird, open his mouth wide, and say, that's how I need to be in my reaction to God or my interaction to God. Just let him have it all. You know, we'll give him our head. We'll say, yeah, I want to learn. I want more knowledge of God, and I want to know about God. And it just kind of stops there sometimes. And we'll say, yeah, I'll give him my hands, and I'll go do some stuff for him. But then it kind of stops there. But you know what? It's hard to get and let God have full control over. There's our heart and spirit. That part where our desires come from. And seeing God wants our desires to be towards him. Just like that little baby bird opened his mouth. You know that baby bird's desires towards his mama? Desires that his mama take care of him. God would that we would desire him to meet our needs. What a beautiful picture that is. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Give him complete authority over your life and trust him to meet the needs as he promised he would. In verse 11, God says, but my people, they wouldn't hearken to my voice. And Israel, they would none of me. What a sad epitaph that came after that. God says, I desire that you be like that baby bird and want everything from me, that you would listen to me and let me lead you and guide you. I desire that you would do that. I want your desires to be towards me, and I'll take care of everything. And then God says, but my people would none of me. How sad. How sad. We can liken that in our own family sometimes, a mom and a dad, and we have children, and we raise them up and take care of them, eat everything, and we just desire that they listen to us and obey us and follow our leading and direction, not because they're incapable of thinking, but maybe because we've been down some of those roads before, and we're trying to lead them in a way that would keep them out of trouble. You know, how many roads did Israel walk down that led towards trouble that they didn't have to go? I'm thinking about 40 years one time. Even more. How many times did Israel get into trouble because they wouldn't follow the leading of God? And yet we can see, if you think back when they did leave Egypt, that time that God led them, cloud by day and the fire by night. And as long as they were following God, everything was okay. And God gives us those same promises. So if I'm following God and I'm worshiping and walking, everything's going to be okay between you and God. But there's still trouble around. Israel ran into trouble in that instance there, right? They got to the Red Sea. The water in front of them, the pursuing army behind them, and nowhere to go. And yet God delivered. God delivered. So why is it that God says, but my people would not hearken to my voice and Israel would none of me? It's because they never did give them all of their heart. In mind, they knew it. And in hands, they even did it. But in their heart, there was things they wouldn't let go. And so God says, I gave them up into their own heart's lust. And they walked in their own counsels. Folks, if we don't get our desires tuned in with God's desires, God's going to let you have your own heart's desire. And then when you have your own heart's desire, guess what? Your knowledge is going to go. He says they walked in their own counsels. Instead of going to God and seeking his leading and advice, they just did what they thought was right. And what a warning that is to us as Christians, as children of God. If we don't listen to God, he'll say, fine. Walk your way. Walk your way. Would we heed the warning and not trust upon our own desires, lest we be left to walk in our own thoughts and ways? In 13, he says, oh, that my people would hearken unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. God said, oh, that they would just listen and walk. And I wonder how many times in our life God said, oh, if you'd have just listened to me, if you'd have just walked, if you'd have just been in full worship with me, and oh, if you'd have just done it. If only. God said, if that would have happened, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He, God, should have fed them also with the finest of wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. God said, if you'd have just listened to me, if you'd have given me all your worship, if you'd have walked with me, I'd give you honey out of the rock. God delights in his children's worship. And he would happily provide all that we need when we look to him and when we walk with him and we give him our all. It's not until we mix in our own selves that we find ourselves in trouble. And Brother Dave, you sound like you're painting a rose garden for Christianity. Oh, but it is. It's beautiful roses, but amongst the roses are lots of thorns. There's still a lot of trouble out there. But when we're walking with God and worshiping God and doing what he's having us to do, he'll see us through. He'll carry us through. He'll meet everything that we need met when we give it all to him. Amen. So tonight, it's a call to worship. Not just in song, but in mind, in heart, in hands, our body, soul, and spirit. Give your all to God. Maybe tonight you're here and you say, God's never answered a prayer that I have. Well, my question would be, are you his child? If you're not his child, the first question or the first prayer needs to be, God, forgive me, a sinner. I know Jesus died for me. He shed his blood that I might go free. Forgive me and save me. And that'll be the first prayer he hears. And he'll answer. And you'll enter a wonderful relationship with him after that. And then you can cry out. And he'll hear. Provided you walk with him. And I tell you what, Friday night was so wonderful. As people came in, nobody cried out loud. You could hear a few whispers. But people were doing business with God. And God showed up. And it was evident. And when it's evident that God's there, how wonderful it'll be to see how he answers.